Talk to anyone you know involved in Arkansas's filmmaking community, and they'll tell you one thing. There's more interest than ever from people who want to make films, and producing them is easier.
So much has happened in such a short time, it's a little bit hard to keep up with it even, that when people are suddenly working together, it's just magnified.
That's Courtney Pledger. She's director of the Arkansas Motion Picture Institute, an organization founded 2 years ago through the efforts of the Little Rock Film Festival founding brothers Brent and Craig Renault. On the opening night of this year's festival, festival goers caroused with filmmakers and organizers at the Arkansas Repertory Theater. The film community is hosting events like these more frequently throughout the year. Pledger says the AMPI is about connecting the dots for filmmakers in the state, promoting festivals, programs, educational opportunities. Pledger has more than 30 years of experience as a film and television producer.
I came back here, let's see, it'll be 2 years ago in August of this year, and I was just blown away by the sophistication of the filmmaking community here and the experience and the knowledge and sort of where it had moved since I had kind of last checked in with it.
Christopher Crane is the film commissioner of Arkansas. He agrees people in the Arkansas film scene are incredibly supportive of one another.
If you walk into a room and say, hey, you know, I'm a filmmaker and I'm just starting out, but I need a location. And do you know somebody who can help me with lighting? You know, do you know any grip and electric people? Then generally that person will be welcomed with open arms.
Crane oversees the state's film incentives for projects produced and filmed here. He says incentives have given a real boost to local productions. Though everyone agrees the local film industry has undergone a growth spurt in recent years, shooting and producing major films is not necessarily a new development for the state. In the 70s, a number of so-called Hicksploitation films were shot here, pitting unsophisticated country bumpkin types in horror-filled escapades.
This is Falk, Arkansas.
Movies like Charles B. Pierce's The Legend of Boggy Creek reimagined quiet rural communities haunted by tall, lumbering, hairy creatures.
What kind of thing can pick up 200-pound hogs and walk off with it?
Popular interest eventually waned in such movies, and the filmmaking scene in Arkansas remained relatively quiet for a number of years before the critical and box office success of Billy Bob Thornton's Sling Blade. Arkansas Democrat Gazette film critic Philip Martin says contemporary Southern filmmakers are working against a history of movies which have molded a questionable set of character types into our collective psyches.
There's a very particular way that that Southerners have been portrayed in the movies, and that's either as kind of obnoxious redneck hick slash, you know, dangerous morons, or this sort of effete kind of white-coated gentlemen or dandies or Southern belles.
Martin sees in a recent crop of Southern films efforts to move away from Southern stereotypes.
There's all kinds of stories that work themselves kind of against those caricatures, against that sort of received notion of the Southerner.
Martin cites Mud, writer-director and Little Rock native Jeff Nichols' third feature film, as just the latest example of this new wave of authentic Southern storytelling. Nichols says he focuses on details, drawing connections between aspects of characters and the place and community they live in.
I try to tell a compelling story, an emotional story, a story that affects the audience, but a story that also is true to its center, its place, its location.
Nichols asserts the importance of looking around and seeing what's going on in a place he films.
I think a lot of times films in the contemporary South, or really even films that are period pieces in the South, they dabble in affectation. There's always kind of this hyperbole that gets added to accents and customs and culture and dress and everything else, and I try to protect myself against that as best I can.
Telling stories with believable characters gets easier as the resources filmmakers use become more affordable and accessible.
Lock it up. We're going for picture. Roll sound.
Speed.
Scene 86, Alpha and Bravo, take two.
Students and faculty at the University of Central Arkansas's Department of Digital Filmmaking collaborate yearly on a feature film to be screened every fall. Department head Joe Dole says independence from the Hollywood model of filmmaking has unshackled the ambitions of young filmmakers.
Our students, or just anyone who isn't a student, can you can afford to buy a camera.
You can edit on a laptop that is something you already own with, you know, without a huge monetary investment. Those things, literally just 15 years ago, those two things weren't possible.
Jennifer Mazzacane founded Real Arkansas in 2011. That's Real with two E's. It's an organization founded with the purpose of connecting small-scale independent filmmakers around the state, from people with regular jobs who like to make movies on the weekend to budding professionals straight out of film school.
Everybody's out making films on, you know, $3,000 or less, for the most part, from what I've seen. And these films have all been financed due to the generosity, not only of the filmmaking community, but of just the community in Arkansas as well.
She says in spite of the lack of compensation, people are driven by their passion to tell stories through the camera. Film critic Philip Martin identifies this shift to small-scale, localized productions as the best chance for immensely personal, original work to take hold.
As sort of the weapons of production fall into these hands, it's kind of like, you know, we'll have all these guerrilla filmmakers, and a lot of them are going to go out and make really bad zombie movies, and a few of them are going to make George Washington.
My friend George said that he was going to live to be 100 years old. He said that he was going to be the president of the United States.
Director David Gordon Green's George Washington is seen by many as a pinnacle achievement in modern Southern filmmaking. Green, probably better known for directing less cerebral comedies like The Sitter and Pineapple Express, set his first film in a small downtrodden North Carolina town, following the development of a group of adolescent friends over the course of a summer. Director Jeff Nichols.
I was in college. I saw him make George Washington. I saw George Washington go out into the world and become, you know, an indie darling and a critical success. And it really broke through the fabric of the filmmaking industry for a bunch of kids from a small film school in North Carolina.
Green's early work made an example of what an independent director could accomplish under a relatively small budget, filming in found locations. Nichols says Green and fellow Arkansan Ray McKinnon, who directed Crystal and The Accountant, not only inspired him to make movies, but to draw characters richly immersed in their environment.
I saw Crystal and I just remember thinking, like, yep, that guy's of my ilk. But I seen The Accountant already and was floored by it.
Nichols says that to achieve the relative success he and contemporaries like McKinnon have had, young filmmakers must ask themselves what they want.
The only way that you can set yourself apart from all the noise is to just really try and be honest with yourself and tell a story that's personally important to you. Sure, maybe nobody's going to end up caring. In fact, most probably no one will end up caring. And that's all right. You got to be willing to accept that.
As Arkansas develops its network of filmmakers and the means of production get easier, telling those personal stories may become less of a challenge. Chris Hickey, KUAR News.